Welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning. I appreciate your interest in spiritual things. It's encouraging to know that people want to study the Word of God and listen to Bible Matters on Sunday morning. And we're glad that you have set aside your time, you've opened your life and your Bible to a period of study, and I'm grateful for that. We would also like for you to visit with us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Come visit us. We would love to have you. We meet Sunday morning at 9:30 and 10:30 a.m., 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., where we speak the truth in love. And we would love to have you if you'll come visit with us. I've been going through some cases of conversion in the book of Acts, and I've been calling it conversion questions. We've been asking questions about certain things that were said or done in cases of conversion in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, we asked the question, why did Peter say, save yourselves from this crooked generation? Acts 2 and verse 40. In Acts chapter 8, with regard to the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, we ask the question, why did the eunuch command the chariot to stand still? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 38. And then in Acts chapter 9, we looked at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. And we asked the question, why send Ananias? And in Acts chapter 9 and verse 11, the Lord said to Ananias, go to the street which is called Straight, and you'll find Saul of Tarsus. Why did he have to go? And then, in today's case of conversion, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 10, we want to ask the question, based upon Acts chapter 10 and verse 5, why was Cornelius told to send men to Joppa and fetch one Simon, or Peter, who is surnamed Peter? Why send for Peter? That's our question, our conversion question for today. Why send for Peter? And the reason we are asking these questions is that modern-day religious teaching would eliminate the need for these things that we've been talking about. If you're saved by faith only, or if you're saved by praying the sinner's prayer, these things are unnecessary. There's no reason to send for Peter. There's no reason for Ananias to go to Paul. There's no reason for the chariot to stand still. There's no reason to save yourselves. And so, we're asking these questions because we find out really the Bible truth of the matter. And often Bible truth goes against modern denominational error. And we have to be willing, friends, to let the Bible speak and let that truth speak to our lives today, even though maybe we have heard something different or have been taught something different all of our life. We need to be willing to make that change and come to the truth of God's Word. So let's look at the case of the conversion of the man named Cornelius, the Roman centurion. He was head of Roman soldiers, and his conversion and his family to Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 1, now there was a certain man in Caesarea, Cornelius by name, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, openly, as it were about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in unto him and saying to him, Cornelius. And he, fastening his eyes upon him and being affrighted, said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are gone up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and fetch one Simon, who is surnamed Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And when the angel that spake unto him was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually, And having rehearsed all things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now on the morrow, as they were on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became hungry and desired to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he beholdeth the heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending as it were a great sheet let down by four corners upon the earth, wherein are all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the heaven. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common and unclean. And a voice came unto him again the second time, What God has cleansed, make not thou common. And this was done three times, and straightway the vessel was received up into heaven. Now while Peter was much perplexed in himself, what the vision which he had seen might mean, behold, the men that were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, were lodging there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. But arise, and get thee down, and go with them, nothing doubting, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause whereof you are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous man, and one that fears God and well reported of by all nations of the Jews, was warned of God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words from thee. So he called them in and lodged them. And on the morrow he rose and went forth with them, and certain of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them. And having together called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And when it came to pass that Peter entered into Cornelius, met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and findeth many come together. And he said unto them, You yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself or come unto one of another nation, and yet unto me has God showed that I should not call any man common or unclean. Wherefore also I came without gainsaying when I was sent for. I ask therefore with what intent you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago until this hour, I was keeping the ninth hour of prayer in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright apparel, and saith, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call unto thee Simon, who is surnamed Peter. He lodgeth in the house of Simon a tanner, by the seaside. Forthwith therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present in the sight of God, to hear all things that have been commanded thee of the Lord. We'll stop right there, and we'll pick up the reading in just a minute and finish off the chapter. But let's look at the events thus far in bringing Cornelius together with the Apostle Peter. Why send for Peter? That's what an angel told Cornelius to do. Why do that? Again, if what we're hearing today is true, there would be no reason for that. So let's ask the question, why send for Peter? Number one, why send for Peter if moral right living is all that God wants? We know from the text that not only was Cornelius a Roman soldier, a centurion who was head of a group of soldiers, but the text says in verse 2 that he was a devout man, one that had feared God with all of his house. He gave much alms to the people. He was benevolent, generous, caring, and prayed to God always. In fact, it was during one of his prayers that a man stood by him in bright apparel. You know, there are a lot of people that would be just like that today, but they think that living right is all that is required to be saved. Not so. He would have been saved already. He would not have needed to call for Peter to hear gospel preaching. And we're going to see what that gospel preaching was in just a minute. Why send for Peter if just being morally right and good saves? Well, it doesn't, friend. We need to be morally right and good, but the sin that is in our life needs to be washed away in baptism. We need to repent of those sins. We need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Those are the things that we need to do to be saved. Number two, why sin for Peter if angels, seen angels, saves? In verse 3, he saw in a vision openly, as it were about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in unto him and saying to him, Cornelius. And the angel informs Cornelius what to do and how to contact Peter. Why send for Peter if God saves here or even today through miraculous visions and angels? There would be no need for Peter to come. He would have been saved at that point already. In Bible times, God used angels to talk to people in visions and dreams and miraculous matters. We even find that the Spirit is speaking directly to Peter. The Spirit said unto him, verse 19, Behold, three men seek thee. And so that would be of a miraculous nature. And those things went on in Bible times. But when it came to the saving of the soul, it was the hearing of gospel preaching, the obedience to that, and being baptized into Christ that saved. Today, God speaks to us through His Son, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. And His Son speaks to us on the pages of the New Testament. God does not save us today with angels and visions and the Holy Spirit speaking directly to us. He didn't even do that in this situation in Acts chapter 10. The angel informed Cornelius some instructions. The Spirit informed Peter involving some instructions, but those things did not have anything to do with Cornelius being saved from sin. It is the foolishness of the preaching that saves them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Why sin for Peter, number three, if Holy Spirit baptism saves? Now, we're going to get to that in verse 44. There are things that are taking place here that are miraculous in nature. There is an angel appearing to Cornelius. There is a vision. There is the Spirit telling Peter what to do. And there is also, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them that heard the word. The Holy Spirit fell on them. And they of the circumcision believed, were amazed, and as many were with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Well, somebody says, well, that's what saves, Holy Spirit baptism. But again, that is actually not the case. What saved was the preaching of the gospel and being baptized into Christ in verse 48. And we know that because in chapter 11 and verse 13 and 14, when Peter is rehearsing this again with some Jews that had come from Jerusalem, they wanted to know why he had been in the home of a Gentile. And he's rehearsing these events. And we don't have time this morning to read all of chapter 11. But if you have time sometime, read chapter 11, 1 through 18. It's a rehearsing of these events of chapter 10. We find that in Acts 11, 12, Peter says, The Spirit bade me go with them. That's a reference back to chapter 10, verse 18, 19, 20. The Spirit bade me go with them, making no distinction. And these six brethren also accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. That's Cornelius's house. And he, Cornelius, told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and fetch Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now underscore this in your Bible. Who shall speak unto thee words whereby thou shalt be saved, thou and all thy house. Peter would speak words whereby he would be saved. Not the angel, not the vision, not the Spirit talking to Peter, not even the Holy Spirit baptism of verse 44, chapter 10, 44, but words whereby he and all of his household would be saved. Again, it's the preaching of the gospel that saves them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1, 21. The Gentiles received the Holy Spirit to show that God, it was an outward showing or witnessing or evidence that God is wanting Gentiles to be saved. That's a second purpose or second reason here. It's not for the salvation of Cornelius. It's to show that God wants Gentiles to be saved. How do we know that? Well, look at Acts 11, 15 through 18. Peter is continuing on, as I, Peter, began to speak. That's the words that would save. That's something separate. The Holy Spirit fell on them, even as on us at the beginning, on us apostles back in Acts chapter 2, Acts 2, 5. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If then God gave unto them, Cornelius and his household, the light gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit that resulted in speaking in tongues, as on us, when we believed on the Lord Jesus, the apostles, back in Acts chapter 2, who was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, look at this, then to the Gentiles also has God granted repentance unto life. That's what this was for, to show that God wants Gentiles to be saved. Now, we're going to come back to Acts chapter 10 in just a minute. But turn with me over to Acts chapter 15. Here is another time later where Peter is now in Jerusalem and others, and they're questioning the Jews over whether or not Gentiles have to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. And there's a number of great things that could be pointed out here. I just want to point out something that Peter says about the saving of Cornelius and his house. They were saved back in Acts chapter 10, and they did not have to keep the law of Moses in order to do that. But in reviewing that account back in Acts chapter 10, Peter says something that's very important with regard to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 15, verse 6, and the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And when there had been much questioning, Peter rose up and said unto them, brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's Acts chapter 10, and the Gentiles here are Cornelius and his household. And notice again, it's the words of his mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's what saves. And Jesus said with regard to the Great Commission, which Peter is fulfilling, Mark 16, 15 and 16, go preach the gospel to all creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, that's what happened. They believed the gospel that Peter preached. He said that he was preaching the word of the gospel. They believed that. And at the end of Acts chapter 10, he commanded them to be baptized. That's what saves. Verse 8, and God, who knowing the heart, look at this, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. That's us apostles, like he did unto us back in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And he made no distinction between us Jews, and them, the household of Cornelius, cleansing their hearts by faith. The cleansing, their bodies were washed in water when they were baptized. Acts 10:48, Peter commanded them to be baptized, but the cleansing was inward when the sin was washed away. And notice it's the cleansing their hearts, look at it, by faith. Not the angel, not the vision, not the Spirit, not even the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when they believed, verse 7, when they had faith, verse 9, and obeyed the words of Peter and were baptized, they were cleansed. Their hearts were cleansed. Now, therefore, why make you trial of God that you should put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? These Cornelius and his household, they're Christians. They're now disciples of Christ. Don't put a yoke on them, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that we shall be saved, we Jews shall be saved through the grace of the Lord in like manner as they, the Gentiles. So Cornelius and his household and other Gentiles do not require more of them. They're already saved. But in the matter of verse 8, the Holy Spirit was given, God bare them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit. It's to show that God approved of the Gentiles being saved, but it was the preaching of the gospel. It was words and belief and faith in those words that brought about the salvation. So we answer the question then, why send for Peter? It's not for these other things. It's so that Peter can preach to them. And notice in chapter 10 now, back in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, what those words were. Acts 10:34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him." And the working of righteousness would be done in verse 48 when they did what Peter told them to do. Not all works are wrong. Working righteousness is working the right thing that God wants you to do, and that includes baptism. The word which he sent unto the children of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That saying you yourselves know, which was published throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses. Peter and the rest of the apostles are witnesses of these things. We are witnesses of these things. Verse 39, which he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom also they slew, hanging him on the tree. They crucified him on the cross. Him, Jesus, God raised up the third day and gave him to be made manifest. That is, the resurrection appearances after he was resurrected. That he might be made manifest, not to all the people, but unto witnesses that were chosen before of God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he charged us to preach unto the people and to testify that this is he who is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. That's why Peter is there. That's why Cornelius was told to send for Peter to preach. It's the preaching and the believing of that preaching and the obedience of that that saves mankind. He charged us to preach unto the people and to testify that this is he who is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. And we're going to meet that judge, friends. Jesus will be our judge in the judgment day, and we need to be right with him when that day comes. To him bear all the prophets witness that through his name, everyone that believes on him shall receive remission of sins. That's what is bringing about the salvation. Not the angel, not the vision, not the Spirit talking to Peter, not even the Holy Spirit baptism, but it's the belief on Jesus. you will have remission of sins. And it's not just belief only, not faith only, but belief and faith that does all that it is told to do, and you have to keep reading the rest of the chapter. While Peter yet spake, verse 44, these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them that heard the word. We find out from other verses that that was God showing that the Gentiles could be saved. And they of the circumcision that believed were amazed, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. That confirms what we said earlier. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Friends, they were told, Cornelius was told to send for Peter because he needed to hear the word of God. Cornelius needed to hear the word of God, words whereby they would be saved, he and all of his house, Acts 11:14. Hearing is the first thing that is to be done in conversion. We find this in different cases of conversion where people are saying, hear these words. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we get our belief and our faith, by hearing that information first. We already looked at Acts 15 and verse 17, where Peter said, the Gentiles by my mouth shall hear the word of the gospel and believe. So words needed to be heard. And we just read what those words were in verses 34 through 43. Clear and simple, men are saved and women are saved by the preaching of the gospel. It pleases God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. It's the gospel that is God's power unto salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16. So, hearing is necessary. Obedience is also necessary. Cornelius and his household were commanded to be baptized, and they obeyed that command. It's not an option. And I think about in Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to enter to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Blessed are they that do his commandments. We sing a song in our songbook based on those words. Have you obeyed the command to be baptized? If we can encourage you and help you to do that, let's do that. And obviously, repentance comes before baptism. They needed to change their life, and baptism was what washed away their sins. And Peter closes, can any man forbid water? No one will stand in the way of forbidding you to obey the gospel. Friend, do you need to do that? Let us help you do that today. Thank you for joining us this morning on the program.